Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. With one exception, which we'll get to in a moment, the Americans released last week from captivity in Iran are now resting up on the grounds of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Deborah Potter reports from Highland Falls, just outside the Academy's South Gate.
The former hostages and their families are now in seclusion at the Hotel Fair, and they'll have the run of the place until they leave for Washington on Tuesday. They won't have to see anyone they don't want to. The military police who've sealed off the area will make sure of that. Security was equally tight when the former hostages arrived at Stewart Airport yesterday. The reunion with their relatives was private. And here at West Point, officials say the privacy of these special guests is paramount. Inside the hotel, the management is doing its best to make the returnees and their families comfortable. The restaurant is serving its usual menu of American food. As the maitre d' put it, nothing fancy or Frenchy. These people don't want that. The Army Combo provided dance music last night, and some of the former hostages took advantage of the newly installed widescreen television to watch the Super Bowl. This is quiet time for the returnees, time to get reacquainted with their loved ones, to adjust to the reality of freedom and to being home. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Highland Falls, New York.
One of the 52 Americans, Army Master Sergeant Regis Reagan, left the others after they landed yesterday at Stewart Airport in Newburgh, New York. Sergeant Reagan flew to Johnstown, Pennsylvania to see his mother, who was hospitalized with a heart condition soon after she talked with him by telephone last Wednesday. Sergeant Reagan spent the night at the hospital. It's not known whether he'll rejoin the others when they leave West Point tomorrow and fly to Washington for official welcome home ceremonies at the White House. A bomb went off before dawn outside the headquarters of an Iranian bank in San Francisco, causing some damage but no injuries. Nobody has claimed responsibility. Almost 8 weeks after the trial started, a jury in Washington federal court today is deliberating abscam bribery and conspiracy charges against Florida's former Representative Richard Kelly and two co-defendants. Fred Graham reports.
Kelly's defense says that he accepted $25,000 from undercover FBI agents, not as a bribe, but because he was investigating them and did not want to arouse their suspicions. But Judge William Bryant seemed to virtually assume that the jury wouldn't believe that story when he instructed them on Friday. Instead, Judge Bryant concentrated on Kelly's alternate defense that he was entrapped by the FBI. He stressed to the jury that Kelly's act in accepting the bribe money from the undercover agents cannot be considered proof that Kelly was predisposed to accept bribes, and that unless the government has proved by other evidence that Kelly was inclined to be a bribe taker, he must be acquitted. The prosecutors told the jury that Kelly's guilt was obvious in videotapes that showed him stuffing bundles of greenbacks into his suit pockets. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
President Reagan today is still at work on the structuring of his administration. Bill Plant has details.
Not quite a week since he took the oath of office, Ronald Reagan is still putting together a government. More sub-cabinet appointments are expected soon. This day seems devoted to staff work and congressional relations, the latter a high priority of the new president because his great hopes for sweeping new legislation to aid the economy will depend on the mood of the men and women on Capitol Hill. Mr. Reagan will continue his practice of involving his staff and cabinet members in the business of setting an agenda and looking for places to cut the fiscal 1981 budget, one of the more serious political problems which faces the new administration. And there are White House preparations underway today for tomorrow's welcoming ceremony for the freed Americans, even as the administration continues to scrutinize the agreements which freed the 52 hostages in order to determine whether those agreements will be honored. Bill Plant, CBS News, the White House.
More of Mr. Reagan's cabinet-level nominees are expected to win confirmation in the Senate tomorrow. David Stockman as Director of the Budget, Gene Kirkpatrick as Ambassador to the United Nations, and William Casey as Director of the CIA. But the Senate Labor and Human Resources Committee plans to hold another hearing on the appointment of New Jersey Construction Executive Raymond Donovan as Secretary of Labor. The committee will take a look at allegations that Donovan was involved in payoffs to a Teamsters Union local. Testimony will be taken from the FBI, which has investigated the matter. A spokesman for committee chairman Orrin Hatch says the FBI inquiry has uncovered no evidence of wrongdoing. The Islamic Summit Conference got down to work today in Taif, the Saudi Arabian mountain resort not far from Mecca. Richard C. Hotelet is there.
The keynote was sounded there last night in the Great Mosque. Islamic solidarity to recover occupied Arab territory. which means primarily an Islamic solution for Palestine and Jerusalem. To underscore that, Yasser Arafat of the PLO was today elected one of the three vice chairmen of this summit meeting under the presidency of Saudi Arabia's King Khalid. UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim, addressing this relatively young organization of Islamic states for the first time, today said it could make a great contribution to a just and stable world. He deplored the increase in world tension, marked, he said, by more violence and terror, as well as by massive violations of human rights. He urged the Islamic nations to support UN efforts to end the war between Iran and Iraq, and also in the Middle East. Waldheim declared that the PLO must be included in negotiations for a Middle East settlement. He added that the settlement must provide self-determination for the Palestinians, as well as the right of all states in the area to live in peace within secure and recognized boundaries, a reference to the rights of Israel. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, Taif, Saudi Arabia.
A team of 10 Israeli scientists working at Ben-Gurion University near Beersheba has reportedly developed a new way of harnessing solar power more cheaply and efficiently than any other process yet devised. Bruno Wassertile tells us about it.
Basically, the system utilizes hot liquid metal that's driven through a large magnet, producing heat and electricity at half the price of conventional systems. The beauty of the new invention is that it doesn't require any heavy or complicated equipment such as turbines or generators. What's more, the power plant needs virtually no maintenance, and each unit is expected to last about 30 years. The construction of the first commercial-sized unit is to begin here in March. If the new invention works on a large scale, it'll have two major benefits for petroleum-poor Israel: cutting the country's need for oil imports by 40%, thus trimming the country's balance of payments deficit by billions of dollars a year. Equally important in Israel's eyes is that the invention should make America and Western Europe a lot less dependent on Arab oil. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Police in South Africa this morning report that more than 100 people were killed by a flood in southwestern Cape Province. A river burst its banks after heavy rains, and floodwaters swept through the town of Lanesburg. South African Air Force helicopters picked up survivors from the roofs of their houses. Mudslides are reported to be hampering rescue operations. Some prominent members of Britain's opposition Labour Party are meeting informally today to decide whether to leave the party and perhaps set up one of their own. The story from Dan Revive.
The Labour Party may lose some of its most well-known members because of the decision by a special party conference on Saturday to change the process in which Labour members of Parliament would elect the party leader. Under the radically new system, trade unions will have 40% of the votes. Local parties will have 30%, and the members of Parliament will have just 30%. It was a victory for left-wing socialists, and four right-wingers who were cabinet members in former Labour governments have responded by forming the Council for Social Democracy. One of them, Shirley Williams, confirmed that's a step toward quitting the Labour Party.
I would say, as I've said before, that, you know, maybe there will be a miracle. I don't really believe much in miracles. I think it looks as if we are almost inevitably now on our way out.
One party member, expecting the worst, bought a listing in the section of the Times of London called In Memoriam, where the dead are mourned. Labour Party, says the death notice, on January 24th, after a long illness. No flowers. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
Gold prices are slumping overseas today. The price was fixed in London this morning at $530.25 an ounce, down more than $20 from Friday. The decline was nearly as steep in Zurich, somewhat less so earlier in the day in Hong Kong. The dollar advanced strongly against all the major foreign currencies, including the yen. Japan's Auto Manufacturers Association reported today that Japan produced a record 11,043,000 vehicles last year. Exports also set a record, nearly 6 million vehicles, up 30% from the year before. Japan is now the world's largest auto manufacturer.
Good morning. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The former hostages awakened on American soil this morning and prepared for a day of privacy with their families at West Point. Tomorrow comes reentry, a news conference for those who want to take part in it, a flight to Washington and greetings from the president, White House reception, all of that. Indications are they are gradually getting ready for reality, as Deborah Potter reports from West Point.
Virgil Sickman says that all of the former hostages are having trouble realizing that they're finally free. In his words, they went through a horrifying experience, and they have a lot to forget. But he says it's already clear that they're bouncing back, and the reception from the crowds here yesterday may well have helped.
They are coming around to realize that the United States has been behind them. They're just overwhelmed. And as the trip yesterday from Washington, from Stewart Air Force Base coming in here yesterday, they just kept shaking their heads and said, hey, we just don't believe it.
Sickman says that when his son Rocky got off the plane from Germany yesterday, he had just one thing to say. He hugged his father and he said, thank God, Dad. In Sickman's words, he's the same old Rocky. There's nothing, I think, he can't handle. Deborah Potter, CBS News, West Point, New York.
In the White House, President Reagan this morning signed that congressional resolution designating Thursday as a day of thanksgiving in honor of the hostage return. He said the hostages have shown that, quote, the spirit of our country can never be broken. More news after this.
Rodney Dangerfield for Mailgram.
I tell you what, girls, I don't get no respect. I was on a date with one girl. She ran into some guy she knew. Introduced me to him. She said, Steve, this is Rodney. Rodney, this is goodbye. Well, last week I had a woman cab driver. No sense of humor. She said, where to? I said, your place. Then she took me to a garage. Finally, I impressed her. I called Western Union and sent her a Mailgram message. How about dinner at Dangerfield's? The old impact of a telegram. At a fraction of the cost, got the lady to my club. Only problem was she brought along her mechanic.
If you want to impress someone special, call Western Union and send a Mailgram message. It's fast, effective, and hard to ignore. And it's easy to send a Mailgram message. Western Union's number is listed in your telephone directory. Operators are standing by 24 hours a day to take your message and send it on its way for delivery with the next business day's mail.
Try a Mailgram message. You'll get respect.
The Supreme Court ruled today that courts may permit television as well as still photography and broadcasts of criminal trials, even where the defendant does object. Such electronic and photographic coverage, the court held, does not violate the defendant's right to a fair trial. Another abscam case has gone to a jury in Washington. This is the case of the former Congressman Richard Kelly of Florida. He was tried with two co-defendants on charges of taking a $25,000 bribe from agents in Sheik's clothing. Kelly is the only Republican member of Congress to be indicted. On May 13th, the Scottish-born seaman Kenneth Carr left Newfoundland in a rowboat and headed, he thought, for Ireland. He last was heard from in October. Yesterday, Carr's 13-foot boat, the Bass Conqueror, was found drifting off Norway, no trace of an occupant. Pakistan's President Zia told 37 nations attending an Islamic summit conference in Saudi Arabia that the first order of business for them is to bring an end to the Iran-Iraqi war. The chances for that appear to be dim, however, because Iran has refused even to attend the conference as long as Iraq is represented there. More news after this.
7 months pregnant, and now I get hemorrhoids.
Oh, I got them when I was expecting, sis.
What'd you do?
Use Preparation H. Many find it gives temporary relief from flare-ups. The special ingredients relieve pain and itch.
Sounds like real medicine.
Even helps shrink swollen, inflamed hemorrhoidal tissue.
I'll try it.
Check your doctor before using any medicine. Hi, how goes it today?
Great, thanks to you and Preparation H.
Preparation H relieves pain and itch, helps shrink swelling. Use only as directed.
Wednesday, 12:15, and Walter Holden returns home from dinner with the client. He heads straight for the medicine cabinet in search of relief.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Tucked away behind the cotton balls, he finds the Alka-Seltzer. Alka-Seltzer. For acid indigestion and headache, nothing works better, nothing's more soothing. Alka-Seltzer, America's home remedy. Read and follow label directions.
In Southeast Asia, officials say more than 1,500 villagers are stranded in a remote jungle slope in Indonesia following a major earthquake last week. Their only lifeline is a helicopter being flown by the Protestant Mission Aviation Service, which is dropping food to them. The toll from the quake was put at 262 dead and 400 missing today. In South Africa, a wall of water ripped through the farming town of Langsburg, drowning scores of people. Authorities say as many as 190 may have lost their lives. Well, Japan claims to have become the world's leading manufacturer of automobiles now. Last year's output put at 11,042,000, far beyond the 8 million vehicles produced in the United States. In addition, Japanese figures indicate that country's far and away the top producer of motorcycles. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is down 0.86 now at 939.33, and the volume 9.25 million. Reed Collins, CBS News.
Newsbreak. Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The 52 returned hostages are getting a hero's welcome, although, strictly speaking, what they did was not essentially heroic. They are people who just happen to have been at the wrong place at the wrong time and who have been through an ordeal on our behalf through no fault of their own. But here they are now, back home. They hung in there, and they came through. They survived. Sometimes hanging in there and surviving can be a form of heroism, too. About that in just a moment.
Someday we'll fly to the Caribbean.
And come back really tan.
Someday I'm flying away.
Someday we'll fly to New York.
See a play.
Go to the Met.
And eat all that great food.
Mm.
Someday I'm flying away.
Someday we'll fly home.
To see Mom and Dad.
Show the kids where we grew up.
Someday. Slipping away.
Someday we're going to the Orient.
Or to Europe.
Or Hawaii. And swim in the moonlight.
Someday, maybe never away.
Are your somedays winding down to never? Your airline or travel agent can arrange trips anywhere in the world on a beautiful Boeing jetliner.
Somehow, someway, someday.
So go, get away. Who knows what excuse you'll have next year? Boeing, getting people and their somedays together.
The bells ring and the bands play and the flags wave for 52 Americans. We're so glad to see them home safe. That's at the heart of it, of course. In the crazy context of their seizure and captivity, these 52 people could have lost their lives. Each of them knows that, and we know it too. In a sense, the whole nation has been held hostage, and it was our human concern for these people and their loved ones that was used against us. It happened to be them. It could just as easily have been us. No mistake, America is not cheering a great victory. We are not cheering the whole sorry episode. We are not cheering specifically the terms of the deal that brought these 52 people out. We are cheering only that they are out, that they are home safe. Whatever the nastiness of what they've been through, they have come through alive and in one piece. They hung in there and they survived. The 52 people we are now giving the hero treatment did not perform some bold act of bravery. They did not rescue anyone from any burning buildings or throw themselves in front of any express trains. But they had the courage to hang in there and survive. And that is a kind of heroism we don't generally recognize and give credit for. There are people in this world for whom hanging in there and keeping going and getting through day after day is heroism. There are the men and women who keep at it in spite of illness, in spite of poverty, in spite of circumstances that degrade and depress and frustrate the human spirit. There are heroes in the seaweed, as Leonard Cohen put it. No one knows or ever will about the everyday heroes whose triumph is that they survive. So here's to the 52 survivors. And here's to all America's heroes, whoever they are. And now, this message.
The place, the sales department at Westinghouse in Palo Alto.
This is a $3 million contract. We can't afford to miss it because of some delayed reports.
The Pittsburgh Research Center just sent the reports.
But the presentation is tomorrow.
They'll be here. They were sent by Express Mail Service.
Overnight, Express Mail Service delivers.
Gentlemen, our research shows that we...
Express Mail Next Day Service. Overnight from over 2,000 post offices, we deliver. Sponsored by your postal service.
News break. Charles Osgood, CBS News.